Hi and welcome to the third in Discovery Real Time's Essential Fishing Skills with me, Matt Hayes. Now, in the first two podcasts, we actually covered the tackle that you need to go fishing with and, of course, one of the essential skills of fishing, how to cast a float. This time around, we're going to be looking at how to plumb the depth, which is one of the most undervalued and essential fishing skills of all time. And it's still as relevant today as it was when I started out fishing. If you ever fancied a day's angling but never quite had the nerve to take the plunge, then this is definitely the series of podcasts for you. There's plenty of information for, of course, experienced anglers who just want to improve their fishing skills. And each of the episodes we're doing is packed with hints and tips for the complete beginner and for the experienced or semi-experienced angler. Now, I'm going to be guiding you through some of the practicalities of the sport. Don't forget as well that not only can you digest the information we've got for you today, but we've got a website, and on that website you will find some fantastic information. Now, you'll find that website on realtimetv.co.uk/fishing, and on there you'll find lots of technical information to back up the podcast. You'll find details of our competitions, more about that later, because once again you're going to get the chance to win a starter kit. And when you're on the website, you'll also find details of over 3,000 fisheries in our Where to Fish guide. So wherever you live, there will be fisheries close by. Even if you live right in the middle of the city or a town, don't worry, there'll be somewhere to go fishing. Now, to help me in my quest today, I've got my panel of experts, who also happen to be my fishing mates. I've got Ed Brown, who runs Furnish Mill Fishery, which is a very popular day ticket fishery over in the Midlands. I've also got with me Stuart Allen, who's a very good friend of mine, and he, more than anyone else, helped to launch my professional angling career. So, as I've said before, blame him. Anyway, we're here to talk, boys, about plumbing the depth. And before we get into the depths of plumbing the depth, perhaps I should explain what it is. Basically, most fish feed on or near the bottom. That's a general rule, but it's a very good rule. And in order to find out how deep the swim is, you need some fairly simple but important equipment. And that is the float that you're going to be fishing with and a special thing called a plummet. And using the plummet of the float, and we're going to actually have a demo of this outside later on, by the way, you can establish how deep the water is in front of you. And Ed, you run a very popular day ticket fishery. How important is it to fish on the bottom?
It's very important. A lot of the carp spend a lot of time feeding off the bottom.
Well, it's not just carp, is it? I mean, tench,
everything does, yeah. I mean, and also you need to assess the depth. Even if you want to come off the bottom, you still need to know how deep that water is in front of you.
Well, that's true, actually, because if you were fishing maybe at half depth, then how would you know you're fishing at half depth unless you know how deep it is?
Absolutely, yeah.
So would you say it's important to get that operation dead right?
Very important, yeah.
So you want to know exactly how deep the swim is. What do most people do when they turn up to your place then?
People either guess the depth or they sort of ask me, and I can say, well, approximately it's 6 foot deep, but use a plummet and you'll find out exactly how deep it is. And also holding areas for fish, you might find a slightly deeper area. Although it's man-made, you still get sort of 6-inch differences in the bottom, and fish will hold round ledges or deeper holes.
That's a very important point, actually, Stu, because, I mean, you could go to a lake and the difference in depth at one rod length and four rod lengths, even in one swim, can be tremendous, can't it?
Enormously so, yes. And of course, the depths in lake, even lakes, which are fairly static bodies of water, changes year by year. Weeds die off, and of course, you get wave action caused by storms. This dislodges silt, and it causes the bottom to shift quite a bit sometimes, and you'll get these depressions form, even in what appears to be a fairly, you know, stable environment.
And how important is it to fish on the bottom? I'm talking about for the beginner now. There are certain advanced skills of fishing whereby you can fish on the top and up in the water, but 9 times out of 10, you want to be fishing on the deck, don't you?
You're absolutely right, Matt. Certain species of fish, like, for example, bream and tench, spend most of their time feeding on the bottom, and it's no good fishing up in the water if those fish are 3 foot below your bait.
Mm. What's the difference in catch rate, Ed? I mean, say I bowl up to your fishery now, and I do what you've said. I don't even bother asking you. I just think, oh, I don't want to ask anyone because I'm embarrassed and I don't want to look a fool. So I kind of set my float at a metre deep or something and just chuck it out there. What difference will that make to my catches between plumbing the depth and getting my bait fishing on the bottom accurately?
It'll just make a huge amount of difference. All the successful anglers that come to us all know exactly to the half inch how deep it is. And it just makes so much difference.
As a general rule, Ed, when you're fishing on your first time fishery, you'll generally be on a small lake or pond. It'll probably be what we call a commercial fishery. There'll be a lot of fish in there. How far over depth do you want your bait to be? Because it's one thing to find the exact depth, but as a general rule, what's your recommendation to people?
General rule, maybe a couple of inches just over depth.
Okay, so pretty close to almost dead depth.
Yeah.
So if it's 2 metres deep, you know, you don't want to be more than sort of 2 metres and 10 centimetres or, you know, let's say that's 6 foot and 6 foot 2 inches.
Absolutely.
So you want to be almost with your bait just touching or just over depth.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I see lots of mistakes throughout the fishery where people will even fish far too much over depth. They may even go out and actually go through the process of plumbing the depth at 2 rod lengths out and then fish the margin where it's 3 foot shallower than it was the 2 rod lengths out and not adjust the float.
So, I mean, just describe to us, Stu, if you're going to explore the water in front of you, you don't want to just plumb up once and have it, your depth set just for one place in the swim. It is important, isn't it, to find out if there are any depth changes in front of you.
Yes, you need to explore the whole swim mat and use the plumbing technique, as you've described, just to work your way around the swim, looking for plateaus and shallower areas and drop-offs, as Ed mentioned earlier, where the fish might be hiding up. And that gives you an idea of where you need to put your bait or to ground bait in order to attract the fish into the area.
Now, just to get this into context, let me just say, if you can imagine 100 people sitting in a field, you'd probably find if there was nothing in that field but grass, they would kind of spread themselves around a bit. But if you put a tree in the middle of that field, you can bet that 70% of the people would sit right underneath the tree. Fish are no different. If you've got a slope or a depth change in your swim, that is going to attract fish. They're often key feeding areas, and it's very important that you know where they are. Now, to do so, you need to know how to plumb the depth. And in a short while, I'm actually going to go outside. We're here at the Watermark Fishery in the Cotswolds. There's a lake outside full of fish, and I'm actually going to go out there, go through the depth plumbing process and try and describe it to you. And also, don't forget, log on to realtimetv.co.uk/fishing and you will find some diagrammatic backup to what we're talking about here. Before we do that, chaps, before I go outside and do a little bit of plumbing the depth, can we just touch on one other thing, which is that for a lot of people who are thinking maybe about getting to fishing, the common image of fishing is that it's this kind of pipe and slippers job. You know, you go down to the water, you cast out, and then you spend the next several hours basically doing nothing and contemplating your float, which may occasionally go under. But in other words, people tend to think of fishing as a very relaxing, gentle pastime that in some respects could be rather boring. I mean, it's not like that, Ed, is it?
Not at all, no. It's a good excuse to get out into the countryside, enjoy the whole experience of fishing. It's not only just the fish, it's the whole surroundings, the wildlife. It's just got this sort of anorak image, and that's gone out the window years ago, basically.
Mm. But, I mean, you know, this idea of a guy sitting by a canal, I mean, they talk about fishing, it's, you know, a worm at one end and a fool at the other. It ain't like that, is it? Not every fishing experience is sedentary.
Not at all, Matt. I mean, you don't invest all this money in fishing tackle and joining clubs and buying licences just to sit there and enjoy the surroundings. Of course, that's important, but I go fishing to catch fish, and long before I've got to the water, I have a plan in mind of what I want to do. I've judged the weather conditions, decided where I'm going to fish, what I'm going to fish for, and it's all that anticipation is building up inside me as to what's going to happen during the course of the day.
And some styles of fishing are very active, aren't they, Ed?
They are, yeah. I mean, if you could touch on sort of fly fishing and lure fishing, you keep making repetitive casts to different sort of areas where you think fish are going to hold and retrieving, but that, you know, we're moving on a bit.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that once you get locked into this world and then it opens up, the wonderful world of fishing, it takes you to the most incredibly inspiring places. You get lots of physical exercise. You learn a tremendous amount, I think, about nature. I mean, in some respects, fish are the forgotten heroes of our wildlife, because there are over 40 different species of freshwater fish. And quite honestly, folks, the only way you're going to get to see them is to catch them.
Yeah, that's right, Matt.
You know, it's the only way you will get to see a fish. And to me, that is the most wonderful thing about it. It's almost like sticking your finger into nature's plug socket, but it's being able to delve into a hidden world, isn't it?
Yes, and there's that mystery of the water. I think there's a fascination about fishing that no other sport or hobby can really capture. It's something that grabs people's imagination, not just in Britain, but all around the world. It's the world's greatest participant sport by miles.
How do you feel, Stu, when you've... I mean, I've seen you. I've watched you fish over many, many years. I've seen you catch loads of fish. You get pretty excited when you hook a fish, don't you?
You do, because you never know if this is going to be the big one. You're fishing for, you know, a fish of a particular type. You're hoping it's going to be perhaps a personal best of the species that you're intending to catch. And 99% of the time, it's not going to be. But that doesn't diminish the excitement. Mm. When you go fishing, you've always got an aim in mind. And you just enjoy it for, the whole experience. Mm. There's always tomorrow if you don't catch your target fish today. That doesn't matter. It's that sort of lifestyle experience that you're looking for.
I once jokingly said on telly, I think, that catching a fish is better than sex. I mean, which one would you rather give up, boys?
Probably the fishing, man.
I was hoping you'd say, damn, I'm going to miss that woman. Anyway, moving swiftly on, it's now time to go outside where we're actually going to do some plumbing the depth and hopefully teach you how to do it properly. Well, I'm outside now at long last. I'm really looking forward to the fishing. I'm down here at the Watermark Fishery. I've got a small pool in front of me. It's absolutely stuffed with carp. I can't wait to start fishing. But before I do that, of course, I really need to plumb the depth. We were talking about this earlier on. It's absolutely vital because the majority of the fish in this pool will feed off the bottom. How do I do it? Well, first of all, let me say that if you listen to the previous podcast, we told you how to basically set up your equipment. And I've threaded the line through the rod rings of the rod. I've attached the float and put some shot either side of the base of it. I've connected my hook on using the loop-to-loop method. It's a hook to nylon. And I've got in my left hand now a thing called a plummet, and I've got the hook in my right. Now, this is what we call a crocodile plummet, because basically when you squeeze the two handles together, it opens up its jaws, and when you let go, it closes them again. So you can work it just like a crocodile's mouth. It looks like a crocodile's head, but the idea is that when I squeeze the plummet, the jaws open and it clamps onto the hook without damaging the line. I just pop the hook inside the plummet and then let it close again around the line. And basically, that heavy object, this weighs about half an ounce, which is easy enough to plumb the depth, will not fall off the line when I cast in. So I've now attached the plummet and I've set the float at the moment at about 2 metres deep. That's a pretty good starting out point. I'm now going to swing the float out into the water, letting go of the line. Nice underarm lob, and the first thing that I've noticed is that the float has disappeared. Now that tells me that I have not set the float deep enough. So I've started off by setting the float at 2 meters away from the hook. The plummet has dragged the float under the water, so I need to add more depth. If the float had appeared on the surface, it would tell me that I've set the float too deep and that the water in front of me is shallower than the depth that I've set it at. Very important point that. So let's just wind in. Having set it at 2 meters and with the float having disappeared, I now know that I need to move the float up the line back towards the tip of the rod, and I'm moving it up now. I'm just sliding the shots along the line. I'm moving it up by a good old-fashioned foot, and I'm now going to drop this out again with a nice easy underarm swing into the same area, and let's see what happens. Well, The float still hasn't appeared on the surface, so I know that I'm still not deep enough. So I'm winding in again. I've got the line in my right hand. I'm using my left hand to slide the shots and the float another foot up the line. So I'm now fishing at about 8 old-fashioned feet deep, just under 3 metres. The swinger out again. Plummets hit the water, dragging the float along. And this time, the float has appeared on the surface. So that tells me the plummet's on the bottom, the float's on the surface. So basically, I'm either set at the correct depth or I'm slightly deeper than the depth of water. So the correct depth probably lies somewhere between what I've just set the float at and the setting before. What I'm looking for is for the float to be on the surface, but only just breaking through the surface film. So having moved it up by a foot and gone over depth, I'm going to drop it back down towards the hook, the float that is, by about 6 inches. So I'm making a half adjustment in the opposite direction because I know that the true depth lies somewhere between those two settings. Swing it out, and this time, lo and behold, the float's coming up. And this time, instead of sticking way out the water or sinking out of sight, it is just about breaking the surface tension. And that tells me that I've got that depth plumbed exactly right. My float is now set with the tip on the surface and the hook just touching the bottom. Now, for most fishing purposes, we'd fish perhaps just a few inches over depth, as Ed said earlier on. So I'm now going to slide the float up just a few inches, knowing exactly how deep it is, that my bait is going to be about 3 or 4 inches over depth. And I'm fishing with total and utter precision. Now, one of the things that I should do before I start fishing is to use the float, use a similar technique to explore the swim and to see if there are any little ledges and drop-offs and features that might contain fish. Having established the depth in all areas of the swim, I can decide where I want to fish, adjust my float accordingly, and I'm rocking and rolling.
Well, let me tell you about fishing and what it does for people in reality, because people are very quick to poo-poo fishing as boring and time-consuming. Fishing achieves a lot of things. Firstly, it teaches you about your environment. It makes you appreciative of the things around you. It gives you time in this crazy world when everything rushes around 100 miles an hour to take time out with yourself. I put a lot of the success of my career just down to fishing. Not all, but most of my, what I consider my greatest ideas that in turn have become extremely profitable, have come about while I've been fishing. Because in the world of emails and mobile phones and pressure, that very overused word, time out for fishing is a time out for your head to come to terms with life, what you want from your life, and what you're going to do with your life. Fishermania, for example, was invented whilst I was carp fishing about 15 years ago, where I thought it's staggering that 3 million people fish every week in the UK. It's staggering that more people fish on a Saturday than watch any form of professional football. And even more staggering that those people don't get the respect that the skill they bring to angling and the pleasure they get from angling and the benefits of angling to the country as a whole in terms of environmental care never really appreciated. So we're not ever going to be respected. We're always going to be looked upon by some people as those sad olds that fish their life away. The sad people are those that don't fish because they don't appreciate what their life has got to offer. That's why I fish, and that's why I encourage young people everywhere to fish, because it will teach them concentration, it will teach them dedication, it will teach them the calming approach. And in a world where we seem to read so much more about drugs and crime and all the things that's going wrong with the world, a few hours fishing can put a lot of that right.
Like I said, one of my favourite fishes is the carp. I'd love to carp fish because it's a very active thing. You don't have to do it for a long time. You could just walk around, look in the water, see if you see any fishes on the top. And I just like to go out with a couple of friends, take a rod and a net in our hands and just float in on top with a bit of bread and just trying to catch some.
That was taught by a fella named Nicky White, and he was part of a team called Momar Whites, and they were one of the top fishing teams in the country. And Nicky taught me how to fish, because I thought I could fish. Believe me, when you fish properly, it's hard work. You know, you don't just sit there with your rod in the water. You know, you float in the water. You have to work and think and bait and everything else that goes with it. And it's hard work. Nicky is very never stops when he fishes. I mean, the float's in the water for about 2 minutes and he's back out again. You know, he's very, very, he's an aggressive fisherman. So he thinks like the fish.
For me, fishing has just gone absolutely, it's just gone through the roof. I think you still do get your old man sat at the canal and he's done that all his life. But we've almost got global superstars who've got the face of, you know, the likes of Matt Hayes and Bob Nudd and people like this have brought fishing into a different era. You know, I mean, I've always admired Matt from him being on TV and his styles, his methods and different ways. And he revitalised the sport, really. It's just, you know, it's not just a hobby. It's actually gone to a sport for me. And for me, it's fishing is, you know, because I train 6 days a week. I play and, you know, and it's a real difficult job that I've got. It's really high. You're in the public eye. It's intense and, you know, everybody wants a piece of you, so to say. And my ideal thing is for me, fishing is just my getaway. It's just like nobody knows who I am. Nobody bothers me. I just literally go up, bivvy up, just set my rods up and I just stay there for a few days and, you know, and it's just perfect. It's an ideal break for me. I just get away from everything. And plus the bonuses, I've got a little boy who's coming up. He's coming up to 9 now. So he's into his carp fishing as well. So, you know, we do the dad and the lad and we just set in. You know, it's perfect for me.
Now, before we move on, just one thing. You may have found the perfect spot for fishing, but nothing's biting. Well, there is an answer. If you log on to realtimetv.co.uk/fishing, you'll find a fantastic step-by-step guide to course, fly and sea fishing. Plug over, back to the action. OK, it's competition time and we've got some fabulous prizes. Top of the pile is a Total Fishing Gear Starter Kit worth over £70. It's got a super carbon fibre rod in it, a fixed spool reel, line, hooks, shots, floats, you name it, we've put it in there. All you need to do to go fishing for the first time is buy yourself a seat, a landing net and a plummet and you are away. But there's more. We've also got some fantastic bait prizes from Dynamite Baits, perfect for the sort of commercial fisheries that most people start out their fishing careers on. But of course, to win, you've got to answer a question correctly. You'll find the terms and conditions of the competition on our website, realtimetv.co.uk/fisheries. You'll find the closing date for entries on there, but you will not find the answer to the question. The answer to the question has been spoken here on this podcast, so you may have to listen again. Now, the question is this. I've got two of my mates here. One of them runs a fishery. It's over in the Midlands. Ed Brown is the guy. What's the name of his fishery? Is it A, Furnace Lake, B, Furnace Pond, or C, Furnace Mill? If you can answer that question correctly, then you could be one of our lucky winners. Well, sadly, that is all we've got time for. Just time to thank both Ed and Stuart, who, in addition to being lifelong fishing mates, thanks, chaps, have also really helped me out on this programme, which has been all about, of course, plumbing the depth. Next time around, the boys are back to talk about feeding. How do you actually feed a swim? Very important subject in fishing. To find out more about that, you'll have to download the next podcast, which I'm sure you're gagging to do. Before we leave, let me thank the Watermark Fishery. Absolutely super place. You'll find full details about the Watermark on the website, as you will about Furness Mill Fishery, which is a super place again for people to go fishing. If you've never been fishing before, Ed will be keeping his beady eye on you. And with that, it's almost time to go. Let me just remind you, for those of you who can't wait for your next fishing fix, it is available on the home of UK Fishing on TV. What am I talking about? Discovery Real Time, of course. I mean, I should know. I've made about 11 series for them now, but there's a lot of fishing on Discovery Real Time. And if you want to catch the fishing TV bug, then you need to tune into Discovery Real Time. It's available on cable and satellite, Sky, NTL, Telewest and Home Choice. And if you cannot find a fishing programme on the channel to suit your tastes, then you better take up knitting. See ya.